Hello, this is Steve Henningsen from the Wealth Conservancy. It's July 2nd. Second quarter has come to a close, and it was certainly a volatile one, which shouldn't be a surprise due to several different things. Our financial markets basically reversed the first quarter with the stock market, which was down a little bit in the first quarter, while things like commodities were up a lot. The second quarter reversed all that, and commodities and precious metals were down, and stocks were up, so basically flipped. And some of this was due to the Iran situation, and that is, I hate to say if it's come to a close now, because nothing the Trump administration has done has made that obvious, so who knows. But I do think it showed the U.S. Vulnerabilities, especially to drones, and I think it was a negative, at least seeing that globally. You certainly don't get that if you read the press, the U.S. press. The narrative is that the U.S. won and so forth, but I don't think we did. We didn't control the strait. We didn't open it. We had to, Trump had to sign a memorandum of understanding with Iran and Versailles, in which he came out and basically said the only reason he did that is because he thought we had about 4 weeks left of oil reserves. And that kind of came about as, you know, why I was so wrong with the oil, because I thought several months ago when we first went into this that the energy markets would be rocked and oil would be over 150 bucks by now. But what I didn't count on was China kind of pulled their demand about 6 million barrels. They were able to not, you know, need during this whole thing, which most people speculate was because they've got huge reserves and they switched over to electrical vehicles and all these different things. So that helped on the demand side. And also Trump drained the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in the U.S. And that's what I think what he meant when he said they only had 4 weeks left of oil is we're getting down to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, in oil. And if that happened, then there definitely would be global ramifications. So, you know, is the Iran thing over now? Probably not. But, you know, Trump administration has been jerking the financial markets around for weeks now, you know, announcing, you know, basically at the end of the week that, you know, the truce is off and, you know, they're going to pound Iran. And then Sunday nights before the markets open, they say, oh, we came to an understanding with Iran and everything's fine. The markets calm down. So they're basically jawboning the markets. But I do think it's made us look weak in the world, and it's going to have global ramifications, geopolitical ramifications, especially in the Middle East, because the countries that were supposed to protect Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and UAE and so forth, they got bombed. And we didn't do a lot to stop that. We couldn't. I don't know which one. And I think it just showed our military weakness on the high seas versus drone technology. You know, basically cheap vehicles that beat expensive vehicles, which I've talked about before. So anyway, that led to a lot of things. And you think the markets would be down on all that as far as the stock markets. But the stock markets have just been, you know, listening to Trump and saying, you know, it's not a big deal and we'll get through this and looking through it. So they didn't kowtow to the, you know, usual war mongering and you know, inflation environment that war usually brings. So at least for now, that could change this quarter. Who knows? The other thing that the markets have been keying on is the Fed, as Kevin Warsh has taken over as Fed chairman. And he came out with his first talk a couple weeks ago, in which he was surprisingly hawkish on the markets. And that means he basically was saying that he potentially could raise rates, you know, dovish being that he would, you know, potentially lower rates, which is what Trump wants. But with the inflation out there, and a lot of other central banks have been raising interest rates around the world lately, he came across hawkish, and the markets basically went from pricing in interest rate cuts this year to two interest rate hikes between now and the end of the year. And that gave some consternation to the stock markets. It also strengthened the US dollar, which hits the commodities markets, and that's the commodities sold off, gold, copper, silver, all the right across the board. The market obviously is kind of thinking, oh boy, they're going to raise interest rates and tighten liquidity. But I think that I don't think he is as hawkish as he thought he was. And today, the jobs report came out and it showed 57,000 jobs, which was only half the expectations. And the market at first was up, but then it sold off. I think it sold off because, usually that would be a good thing, because if the employment market is weak, then the Fed would typically lower rates to try to help out, bring liquidity to the markets. But I think it sold off because the past 2 months' numbers were revised down. So the job market hasn't been as strong as reported, basically. And if the employment market is softening and inflation is still high, it leaves the Fed in a tough situation when, they really can't lower interest rates if, inflation's at 3 or 4%, especially when their target's 2%. So I think today kind of was a sign that, the Fed is kind of trapped, at least for now, unless, when the CPI comes out in a week or so, that shows like it came way down, which could, because oil's dropped down. But again, that's just because a strategic oil reserve, at some point they have to fill that up, and at some point demand will increase in China because they have to fill theirs up too. And will that make oil go back up? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. The other thing that's been in the news is, AI. Is it a bubble or not? And of course, I think it's a bubble. I mean, no new technology ever comes about that doesn't have bubble, because people fluctuate between fear and greed. You can go back to the canals in the 1800 in the U.S. You can go back to the radio stocks. You can go back to the railroads when they were in a bubble, and then, what I lived through, the internet bubble of the 90s. So AI, yes, there's just a ton of money being thrown at it. Yes, some of these companies are making money, but some of them aren't going to be making money. This quarter, the S&P 500, which is made up about 20% of semiconductor stocks, and semiconductor stocks were on a tear, which basically, boosted the whole market. And, these are the chips that the hyperscalers, the Microsofts and Amazons and Googles have been buying. But the hyperscalers actually were down this quarter. They actually were down in stock price. And that's because a lot of them, like Google, had to come to the market to finance some of their capital spending. They're just spending huge amounts on all these AI things. And it's the chip makers that have been making out. And meanwhile, the actual AI companies, the Anthropics of the world, they're still not making any profits. And Anthropic even pulled their IPO. This was the IPO in a couple of months, but they're going to postpone that. And I think there's concerns now, especially with China having their own AI companies that are much cheaper and open-sourced. And the chip companies are very cyclical. People forget that. So, at some point, if the Amazons and Microsofts of the world don't need as many of these chips, or if China comes out with a much cheaper and better chip or some other company, you're going to see a huge pullback in these semiconductor stocks. And, we'll have to see when that happens. Who knows? There's been pushback already. Apple raised their prices a couple of weeks ago and got smacked. They were down, their price went down 5% in the markets that day. And they were saying they had to raise prices because of the chip prices are up. So they're not doing so well passing these costs on to consumers, is what I'm trying to say. But I don't know how long this will last, when the bubble will pop or whatever. I mean, AI is obviously here for good. But is there a froth in these markets? There absolutely is. No one can tell you when it's going to happen, especially with the passive flows that continue to come in. Through the 401ks and so forth that get added to the S&P 500 and all these other indices every time a payroll comes about. And talking about bubbles, SpaceX also came out this quarter, and there was just all the talk. And that obviously helps the market too. I find it comical that it was allowed into the indices, like the Qs and so forth. They all changed the rules to get SpaceX be allowed into their index products. And because usually it takes, years for these for them to be accepted in, but they made a special acceptance for SpaceX, which was like $2.25 trillion. I think it came into the market at, which was, I think, the largest IPO ever. Meanwhile, the company has no earnings, doesn't make any money, and isn't expected to make any money for as long as you can see. The stock opened up, went to $225, and then came back down to 162, I think, today. So it's about 30% off of its high. I personally wouldn't touch it unless it comes a lot lower. But hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people are going to chase it just because Elon's going to run it, and that's fine. I like Elon too. I just don't think I would buy a company that expensive that's not making any money. I will give kudos to the Standard & Poor's. They were the one index company that did not allow SpaceX in because they have a rule. I think it's a company has to have 5 quarters of earnings, and they weren't going to, kowtow to SpaceX and change that for them. So it's not in the S&P 500. So I thought that was good of them to stick to their guns. Overall, it's summertime. It's kind of slow, as usually is in the investment markets. As far as my thoughts on the markets themselves, yes, our portfolio's got knocked nicely this quarter because we have a high percentage towards commodities and not a lot towards the hyperscalers and these big companies making these huge, capital intensive investments. I would just rather invest in the things that we're going to need to have for AI centers and so forth, the commodities. Because whether or not AI blows up or not, we're going to need commodities for, rebuilding our infrastructure, even the data centers themselves. But the infrastructure, which we're going to see this summer as far as energy needs and how bad our whole electrical system is as far as transforming power around the United States, we're going to have to rebuild it all and electrical systems and so forth. So, I mean, still a huge bull on copper, on uranium, on energy, on everything that goes into those things. So, yes, they got knocked back this quarter, mostly due to the strong dollar, but I expect them to come back in the quarters ahead, and I have no concerns whatsoever. Same with the precious metals. Yes, gold came down from its high and it's about 4,000. I think it's down about 5% year to date. It's around 4,000 an ounce. Silver, which was the speculation, came from like 100, I don't know, 40, and it's dropped down to 60. And that's to be expected. I think Jim Rogers, who's a famous investor, once said in any bull market in commodities, they usually sell off at some point 50% in the bull cycle. And copper certainly did that. I mean, not copper, but silver. But if I go back a year from today and look at silver's price of 30, $30 and look at it today at $60, that's a double. And I think most investors would be happy. It's just the people that came in January and bought it at 140 and then dropped it in half. They're not happy. But that's what these commodities do. Gold and silver shake people out. The speculators came in and they bid them up harder than they should have, and they've come down. And there's certain lots of reasons why that happens, especially liquidity reasons and sovereign, so like Japan and so forth have to sell things. Saudi Arabia, all these countries that had to do things because of our war to get money, to get dollars, to get oil, to get all these things. Their reserves are in gold, so they sell down gold. So, yeah, they didn't have to sell down silver, but silver was just a speculative thing. And I could kind of feel this at the beginning of the year, which is why we reduced some of our precious metals at the in the middle of January because they had just had such a strong move. But I still think they're going much, much higher. I have no concern there either, especially with gold. You look at what the central banks are doing. China was a huge buyer in May, and the central banks are still purchasing. And there was just a survey that came out a couple weeks ago on central bank asking them who's gonna buy gold in the next year. And I think it was like 70 something percent of the central banks are still gonna be buying. So the bid is still there and it's still cheap. And I still think it's going much higher, especially in a world now, which we've proven with Iran that we just can't be trusted as far as the treasuries and so forth. So I think countries are going to build their reserves, not on the US treasury bonds, but on gold, and that'll only bid it higher. On the speculative side of gold, I find it comical how these things come out. There's so much speculation and conspiracy theories in the market, and some I believe and some I don't. One surrounding gold is that maybe this Saturday, July 4th, they might announce a 50-year treasury bond that is backed by gold. And at first you think, oh, geez, that's just talk, conspiracy talk. But this has been going on for a while. I've seen it. Judy Sheldon, who's a well-known economist, first wrote about it back in 2011 in a paper. And she has met with Trump several times trying to get him to do this treasury bond. And she did put an article out a couple months ago saying that July 4th of this year, since it's the country's 250th anniversary, would be a great time to announce it and get, some basically confidence back in the US Treasury market. And knowing Trump, yeah, he would love to announce something like that. He likes gold and he likes, symbolism. And what better on the 250th anniversary of the country to announce a gold-backed bond? And that would certainly be a plus to the gold market. Do I think it's going to happen? I doubt it. Usually these things, everyone gets excited about them, but they just don't occur. They usually occur when they have to occur, when they're forced to do something like this because something happens in the treasury market and they can't get the demand they need, so they'll make an announcement like this. But who knows? I mean, I do think at some point they will revalue the gold held by the US because it's still held at only $42 an ounce, and they'll at least revalue it up to current market price. And they probably will have a gold bond at some point, but whether or not it's this Saturday or not, I have no idea. Anyway, that's it for now, and I hope everyone has a wonderful 4th of July weekend. And it is special; it is our 250th anniversary. And to show my age, I know very well. I remember the 1976 4th of July because I went down to Boston Harbor with my parents and family, and we got to board Old Ironside and take a tour of they had a big aircraft carrier sitting in the harbor. We got the tour of that, and so I have a lot of fond memories of that. So I hope you all have create some fond memories this weekend, and I will talk to you soon.